Hi everyone, this is Harris Lawry, greetings from Boreham Wood in the UK, and welcome to the second book of Samuel. Today's chapter is the second book of Samuel, chapter 1, and I thought we should start by asking, why are there two books of Samuel at all? Well, the truth is, the division between the two books is not a particularly Jewish one. The book was originally one book. It was divided into two in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Tanakh, just simply owing to its length, and then the Christian tradition followed this division. But actually, in Hebrew Bibles, in Tanakhim used by Jewish communities, this division between the two books wasn't made before the 15th century. The reason is really an editorial, literary one, where if in the first book of Samuel, it recounts the periods of Eli and of Samuel himself and of King Saul, then the second book of Samuel really tells of the reign of King David, and it starts with the death of Saul and David's subsequent reign. So really we end the first book of Samuel with the death of Saul, and then the second book of Samuel is all about King David. So as for a description of our chapter, chapter 1 of the second book, we hear of David's reaction to being told of Saul and Jonathan's death on the battlefield against the Philistines. David is told by a young Amalekite who had escaped from the battle scene of Saul's death. This young warrior had actually come across Saul at Mount Gilboa, where Saul was already mortally wounded in battle. And Saul basically begs him to put him out of his misery, which the Amalekite does and kills him. When the Amalekite gets back and tells David about this, David tears his clothes, weeps and mourns. It's very clear, by the way, that this is for both Saul and Jonathan. And he also actually orders the summary execution, seemingly very harshly, of the young Amalekite for, quote, putting the Lord's anointed to death. The second half of the chapter is David's poetic dirge or elegy over Saul and Jonathan. And there are some very evocative lines in that elegy. The two which strike me as the most evocative are verse 23. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and cherished, never parted in life or in death. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. And then a couple of verses later, verses 25 and 26. How have the mighty fallen in the thick of battle? Jonathan, slain on your heights, I grieve for you. My brother Jonathan, you were most dear to me. Your love was wonderful to me, more than the love of women. Now, there have already been several erudite comments on this chapter and on the elegy in particular from previous recordings of Rabbi Joe, of Rabbi Shmalo, and of Kalev. So I thought I'd go for something a little bit more left field today. And in this chapter, we have the only explicit internal reference to a source which the book of Samuel draws on. Explicitly, because it makes mention of this. So in our chapter, in verses 15 and 16, in the introduction to David's elegy, we read, Vayikonen David et hakina hazot al Sha'ul v'al Yohanan beno, and David intoned this dirge over Saul and his son Jonathan, Vayomer lelamed b'nei Yehuda kashet hinech tuva al sefer hayashar. He ordered the Judites, the sons of Judah, to be taught the song of, possibly, the bow. It is recorded in the book of Yashar. We'll come back to the thing about the bow, but first of all, we have this mention of the book of Yashar, Sefer HaYashar. Now, this is actually the second mention of this book in Tanakh. The first is in the book of Joshua, chapter 10, verse 13, where we read, Vayidom Hashemesh, Vayareach, Amad, Ad Yikom Goy Oibav, Halohich Tuva al Sefer Hayashar. So the context of this is in one of Joshua's battles. Again, this is against the Amorites. And the sun stood still, and the moon halted, very famously, while a nation wreaked judgment on its foes, i.e. the Jewish people over the Amorites, as is written in the book of Yashar. So the context here seems to suggest a poetic book of war stories. By the way, we don't have access to this book anymore. We don't know what it is. So this is what's quite interesting, because this is all quite speculative about what is the Sefer HaYashar. Brown driver Briggs, the well-known lexicon, talks about it as a collection of ancient national poetry. So it seems to be a book of poetic accounts of war stories, perhaps. But the reference in our chapter is a bit more complicated, and because we have this thing about the bow as well. So let's just go back to our verse. Vayomer Lelamed b'nei Yehuda kashet. He ordered the Judites to be taught, well, possibly the song of the bow. We only have the bow, the word for bow in Hebrew, but it could be that the bow is a reference to the name of a lament or the name of a tune. Behold, it is written, this song is recorded in the book of Yashar, Al Sefer HaYashar. So what more might we know about this book? Well, the Art Scroll translation of this verse is as follows. This song is taught in the children of Judah, the children of Judah, the archer's bow. Behold, this is written in the book of uprightness. And the comment there is that this is the Torah, which alludes to the prowess of Judah in archery. And at first I thought, oh, this is classic Art Scroll wanting to take us back to something very traditional, claiming that Sefer HaYashar is simply the Torah, the book of uprightness, it must be the Torah. But actually, I stand corrected on that, because there's a lot of precedent for this in Tractate Avodah Zarah 25a, where the Gemara looks or attempts to posit a number of possible explanations for what this book of Yashar is, in particular in reference to when it's quoted in our chapter in Samuel. So here goes, I'll just quote a couple. The Gemara asks, what is the book of Yashar? Rabbi Chia bar Abba says that Rabbi Yochanan says, this is the book of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, who were called righteous Yesharim, as it is written with regard to them, let me die the death of the righteous, i.e. Yesharim, and let my end be like this. Now, this is a book from Bamidbar, from Numbers, and interestingly is part of Bilam's positive comments about the Jewish people. But here it's being used as saying, well, this is a reference to righteous people, i.e. the first ancestors of the Jewish people, and because they're called Yesharim, we can therefore suggest that the Sefer HaYashar is reference to the Torah, or at least possibly the book of Bereshit, of Genesis. Here's another reason, then the Gemara says, it further analyses the verse in our chapter in Samuel, and it's trying to pick up on this word keshet, bow. What's all that about? Where it is alluded to in the Torah, in Bereshit, that Judah must be taught to use the bow. Well, the verse states, Judah, your brothers shall praise you, your hand shall be on the nape of your enemies. And the Gemara explains, what is the form of warfare that requires one's hand to be held opposite the nape? You must say that this is referring to the use of the bow. And so therefore, because we talk about in our chapter the bow, this must be referring to Judah, and Judah appears in Bereshit. And so Sefer HaYashar is a reference to Bereshit, or the Torah. There are other explanations afterwards which talk about maybe it's actually the book of Devarim, because we have a quote in the book of Devarim about you shall do that which is right. V'asita hayashar v'hatov b'enei Hashem. And actually there's another interpretation that in fact it's the book of Judges, because we read in the book of Judges, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right. Yashar, right? Everyone did that which was right, Yashar, in their own eyes. So we've got explanations that this might be referring to the Torah, particularly to Bereshit, possibly to Devarim, possibly even to not the Torah, but the book of Judges. Lots of different possibilities of picking up on this strange use of the word kashet, bow, and trying to use that as a clue, a further clue, to work out what the Sefer HaYashar is. As a whimsical aside, there's also something called the Pseudo Book of Yashar, which was an 18th century forgery. It purports to be an English translation of the Book of Yashar by Alcuin of York, a scholar from Northumberland, so bringing in the UK connection here, But that was quickly exposed as a hoax in the 18th century, and the printer was sentenced to 3 years in jail for his audacity. What I find interesting about this is this, it reiterates this continued impulse to identify, well, what is this Book of Yashar? What can we know about it? So in conclusion, this is a bit left field. It's a bit nerdy what I've done for this chapter talking about Sefer HaYashar, but to me it epitomises all the work trying to uncover what this book is. Characteristically, I think, summarises two aspects of Jewish interpretation generally. The first is what you might call omnisignificance, where everything in our text is significant and we want to find out as much as we can about it. And secondly, what I'd call intertextuality, where the classical Jewish commentators and the Talmud is really comfortable and enthusiastic about taking bits from one text and applying it to another and moving very fluidly between book and book. And I think this is really two of the things which we can take from the whole 929 project, right? Every chapter, every verse is important because we'll be studying every chapter through this project. And hopefully through this project, we'll also all become better intertextual scholars as well, because we'll be familiar with all those bits of Tanakh we may not have been familiar with before, and we'll get a better appreciation of how they all enrich each other. Have a very good day.